March 15 of 1991, General Norman Schwarzkopf did an interview with Barbara Walters. And in that interview, he made a statement that was later to become, at least a portion of the statement, was going to become the title of his autobiography. The statement he made was this, I want you to listen, it doesn't take a hero to order men into battle. It takes a hero to be one of those who goes into battle. 1 year later, Schwarzkopf wrote his autobiography, and the part of that statement he chose as the title was this, it doesn't take a hero. I want to read a statement to you from chapter 1 of that book. This is Norman Schwarzkopf himself speaking. He said, my father went off to war in August of 1942. His last act was to make me the man of the house. Pop stood in front of me and gave me a little talk about how he was leaving and going off to serve our country. Because he was leaving, I was going to have a big job. It was up to me to look after the girls. That's mom and my sisters, because men are the protectors of women. Then he went back into the house, and when he came out, he was carrying his army saber. My father's saber was a sacred thing in our family. We called it his West Point sword because he had been given it the year he graduated from West Point in 1917. Duty, honor, country. The West Point motto was his creed, and it would become mine. When he handed me that saber, I felt an awesome obligation to be accountable for not only it, but also for mom and the girls. And to be honest, I was overwhelmed. Pop kissed me one last good night, and in the morning when I woke, my father was gone. Nothing would ever be the same again after that morning. You know what Norman Schwarzkopf is saying sums up what I want to talk to you young people about. The handing of a saber to a son by a father, that act was an act of saying to that son, son, I am leaving you in charge. I'm committing a stewardship to you. Now, young people, I'd like you to write down somewhere, either in the margin of your Bible or maybe in your notebook, I want you to write down the definition of stewardship. A stewardship or stewardship can be defined this way. It is literally one to whom a responsibility with the accompanying privileges. One to whom a responsibility with the accompanying privileges has been entrusted. One to whom a responsibility with its accompanying privileges has been entrusted. You see, what Norman Schwarzkopf was being entrusted was the responsibility for caring for the family. Along with that responsibility came some accompanying privileges. Do you know, in the United States of America, we want all the accompanying privileges, but we want none of the responsibility. Fellas, every one of you in here, and I'm not trying to be crass, but I'm just going to be candid and talk to you from my heart today. Every one of you guys in here want the accompanying privileges of intimacy sexually, but you want none of the responsibilities. You know, that's America. Girls, any guy that would get you pregnant, forgive me, outside the bonds of marriage and then leave you to carry a baby and then have to give birth to that baby by yourself and care for it by yourself, that guy does not love you. That guy is not a steward. That guy is scum. We want all the privileges, none of the responsibilities. A steward is somebody who takes the responsibilities and the accompanying privileges that go with it. He considers them very seriously. Now, I wish I had more time to do this today, but we've done a lot this morning, and I don't have time to go into it. But young people, life is a stewardship. Our country is a stewardship. Brother Kaminsky, I was in the country of Canada about 5 years ago, and I ate breakfast with two pastors. Both of them had graduated from colleges in the United States. And we were talking about our responsibility to our government and how we ought to pray for America and we ought to do things to try to reclaim our country called the United States. Both those pastors looked at me and they both said this, as I study the Bible, I do not find that in the Bible, anybody in Bible times, especially New Testament times, was rising up and trying to revolt against the government, or they were standing up and trying to promote patriotism or anything like that. I find them basically doing nothing. I said, you know what? I agree with you. However, won't you understand, Rome was a very evil taskmaster in those days. And as you study the Bible, they were subservient to it. I said, however, we have been given a different nation. And you know what? We have. This nation was founded upon principles found in God's holy word. Those that are our founding fathers who came here and established the Constitution, which is by no means a perfect document, but boy, it's the finest document man ever devised. Those who put that document together and prayed over it before they ratified those things, those were men who understood we have a unique privilege here. I said, guys, I will never agree with you. I vehemently disagree that we ought to be pacifists in the United States of America and we ought not do anything to try to bring our country back to God. That's lunacy. We are stewards of our country. And one day we're going to stand before God and give an account. By the way, if you're 18 years of age or you'll turn 18 between now and November 2nd, you know what? You need to register and you need to vote. That is not only your patriotic duty, it is your God-given duty as a steward of the United States of America. Young people, it's time we quit sitting back. Moms and dads, it's time we quit sitting back and we start standing up and becoming a steward of the things God has graciously entrusted to us. Life is a stewardship. And young people, life is made up of four things over which you will one day stand, if you're a Christian, before the judgment seat of Christ. And you're going to give an account for your stewardship in four areas of life. And I want you to write them down. Number one, you are a steward of your time. You are a steward of your time. Boy, I wish I had time to turn to James chapter 4 and show you the context of a verse that we take out of context all the time where it says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not to him it is sin. Man, we've applied that all kinds of ways. I've even done it. But if you look at James chapter 4, the context of that is time. What you do with your time. You and I both are a steward of our time. Every day you are given 1,440 minutes that have been entrusted to you every day of your life. If you live to be 70 years of age, your life is reduced daily by 1,440 minutes. Do you understand if you live the life of a normal teenager, out of those 1,440 minutes, you will spend 480 of them sleeping if you get 8 hours of rest a day. You will spend 180 minutes of that 1,440 minutes just eating. You will spend 60 to 80 of those 1,440 minutes just starting your day. That is shaving, fellas, getting your hair combed, taking a shower, girls, getting your hair fixed. You'll spend 60 to 80 minutes getting ready to start your day and end your day, brushing your teeth, etc. You'll spend approximately, at least in America now, today, according to statistics, people spend 1 hour a day driving to and from work on the average. So that's another 60 minutes, a total of 800 minutes a day out of 1,440 that are already committed to something. That means you have left now 640 minutes. That is just over 10 hours to invest for the sake of eternity. What are you doing? Well, that's 640 minutes. You're a steward of it. Brother Kaminsky, the longer I live, the more I keenly aware I become of how much time we waste. And you know what? I don't want to waste time anymore. I'm going to answer to God for every minute I spend today, and so are you. You're a steward of your time. Number two, you're a steward of your talents. Now, I wish I had time to turn in the Scriptures and do this, but for sake of time, I won't. But God has given every one of you young people in here gifts, abilities, talents that He intends for you to employ in His service. God's given some of you a sharp mind, and He intends you to go to college and train your mind. By the way, there are some of you that are sponsors, youth directors, and you're on up in years. You're 40, 45, maybe 50 years of age. I heard a guy say one time, you know what, I'd go back to college and I'd get my degree. But he said, I'm 45, it'd take me 10 years to get my degree. Going to college at night, he said, I'll be 55 years old by the time I got my college degree. There was another guy standing there, and I loved what he said. He said, that's 10 years, right? He said, right. He said, 10 years to get your degree. He said, yeah, that's too much time. Well, the other guy said, well, let me ask you a question. He said, you're 45, you'll be 55 if you go to college at night and get your degree. He said, how old will you be in 10 years if you don't go back to college? He said, I'll be 55. How come the same? He said, my point is this, 10 years is 10 years. Get at it. Hey, listen, you have gifts and abilities, guys. Please don't be a Moses who stands up and throws up every excuse possible. Well, Lord, I can't speak, and I'm not of a quick tongue. I'm of a slow tongue, and I can't do this, and I can't do that, and I can't do the other thing, and somebody else does it far better than I do. Quit making excuses. You're going to stand up and give an account to God for the stewardship of the talents He's given you. Get busy. You're a steward of your time, a steward of your talent. Number three, you're a steward of your treasure. You're a steward of your treasure. The Bible teaches very clearly everything we have, everything we own, everything we are has been given to us by Almighty God. God gives you 100% of your health. God gives you 100% of that body that you have. God gives you 100% of the physical resources, the financial resources that you have. It is all God's. Isn't it interesting, Brother Kaminsky, that God is a much more gracious master than the government ever is? I am considered self-employed as an evangelist. Do you know the government takes out of my income 15%? Right off the top, every year. You know all God asks of the 100% of the stuff He gives to me? You know all He asks back is just 10%? And you know what? Most of us won't do that. I remember talking to a young man in the ministry, Brother Greg, and he said this to me. He said, I can't make ends meet. We're just not making it. Can't meet our bills. And he was serving God in the ministry. I said, let me ask you a question. I said, are you tithing? And I'll never forget what he said. He said, I can't afford to. And I've heard it was said to me, and so I said it to him. I said, listen to me, you can't afford not to. God will stretch 90% of your income, young people, and you need to learn to get started at this right now. In fact, you should have been doing it for years. 10% of your income belongs to Holy God. And He'll stretch that 90% and meet every need you have. I promise you He will. The Bible says in the Old Testament, try me and prove me and see if I won't pour out a blessing on you that you'll not be able to contain. And I have never seen an exception to that. God keeps His promises. You're a steward of your treasure. Of the 90% that you have left, let me ask you, what are you doing with that? Do you know that 90% is not to be spent just on you and the toys that you want to have and accumulate to have a good time? Do you remember Brother Danny Sweat? Bob Jones graduate. He was music director where I was privileged to be youth director for the first 2 years out of college. And I'll never forget one time him making a statement. He said, we take, and he gave a figure, a percentage, not a dollar amount. We take X amount of money out of our monthly income. And he said, we have designated it as others' money. I said, Brother Danny, what's others' money? He said, others' money is money that we spend as a family collectively together, and we go and find someone who maybe is in need or doesn't have something that we are enjoying, and we spend our others' money on them so that they can enjoy some of the blessings that we're enjoying. I thought, wow, is that something? Others' money. Hey guys, have you looked around while you're up here and seen a young person who came from another church, and every time you go and get 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 10 sodas at snack shop time, and they can't do that? Have you ever thought about taking some of that 90% that God's left to you and buying another young person a soda? Hey, it ain't all about you. It's about others. You're going to answer to God, and so am I. For what we do with our treasure, we're stewards of it. It was R.G. Letourneau, who has a college now in Texas that bears his name, who began by giving 10% of his income to God. And he prayed this prayer, God, give me more so that I can give more. God, give me more so that I can give more. Do you know he worked his way through life until the day he died? And ultimately, he had totally reversed the tables. He was giving 90% of his income to God and keeping only 10% to himself and living on that 10%. He was a very wealthy man. But he tried God and proved Him and found Him to be more than true to His word. Young people, listen to me. You are a steward of your treasure. You're a steward of your time, your talents, your treasure. Number four, you are a steward of your temple. Now, I'm going to tread on some ground that angels fear to walk into, but I'm going to say it because it's the truth. Your body is a temple, 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20. And we are told in the Bible to glorify God in our body and in our spirit, both of which belong to God. Brother Kaminsky, I hear and see a whole lot of stress on, well, glorify God in your spirit. I mean, that belongs to the Lord. I hear very little in the independent fundamental Baptist camps about glorifying God with your temple, which is your body. You say, what are you talking about? A number of years ago, Brother Adams, I took my wife to hear a preacher who I'd heard and I loved him. He was an excellent violin player, kind of played fiddle is really what he was. Great guy, loved him. Took my wife to hear him, and as he got up to preach that day, he began to wax eloquent on smoking and all this kind of thing. And as he said that, through my mind raced this thought, because he was a very large man, well over 320 pounds. And as he's waxing eloquent about smoking, I thought, yes, and you, sir, are committing suicide with a knife and fork. That does not make sense to me. Now, I'm against smoking, guys. I'm against illicit drug use. I'm against doing anything to destroy your body, putting alcohol and substances in that harm the temple. I'm against all of that. But you know what? The number one sin among independent Baptists is we do not care for this temple, this body God's given us. When you asked Brother Kaminsky, how many of you ran this morning? And the majority of the kids said, I thought, man, praise God. Young people, you know what? Your body's functioning right now at optimum. But when you get older to the grand old age of 45 and wherever you are, brother, I'm telling you, everything hurts. I mean, my shoulder hurts this morning. Every time I put my feet on the floor, they hurt. But you know what? I want to live a long time. I want to have a successful ministry. I don't want anything to detract from what God's called me to do. So you know what? Got to keep this body fit. Amen. Can I read some statistics to you? Listen to me very carefully. Do you know that heart disease is still the number one killer of Americans in the United States? Heart disease. One American has a heart attack every 30 seconds, and one American dies every 60. Last year, over 481,000 U.S. citizens died of heart disease. 45% of those who have heart attacks or those that are heart attack victims are under the age of 65, and most of those that have heart attacks are between the age of 45, that's me, and 55. Between 45 and 55. Do you know that your risk for heart disease goes up dramatically, exponentially, if your waist size is over 40 inches as a male? Your risk of heart disease goes up dramatically, exponentially, if your waist size is over 35 as a female. And do you know, young people, every time you draw a puff on a cigarette, according to the Bureau of Statistics, you increase your risk of heart disease by 20 years. That is, you will have a heart attack 20 years sooner than someone who's never puffed on one. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying you're a steward of your temple. Now, I've heard people stand up and quote 1 Timothy 4 that says, bodily exercise profiteth little. Can I explain what that verse means? Where's my preacher voice? Lift your hand. Here's a verse that I want you to take down. Bodily exercise profiteth little. It literally means bodily exercise profiteth for a little. Literally, for a little while. Listen to the rest of the verse. Bodily exercise profiteth for a little or for a little while, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life which now is and that which is to come. What the Bible is saying is godliness will profit you here on earth and in heaven, but down here, bodily exercise will profit you here on earth. Hey, listen to me, folk. You're a steward of your temple. There's many an independent Baptist preacher that's gone to heaven early. And his ministry could have been extended, but he did not take care of himself. Folk, that is just as much sin as pumping cigarette smoke into your lungs. It's wrong. And you're going to answer to God for the stewardship of your temple. Brother Kaminsky, do you remember in the Old Testament, they took great pains with the tabernacle and with the temple that they ultimately built. They were not to worship that building. But I want to tell you something. They were very careful to make it an ornate and a beautiful thing. They cared for it. And the Bible says in the New Testament, our body is God's temple. Would you listen to me? You better not worship your body by just doing whatever feels good to you or just dressing your body in such an extravagant way and putting all of your money on you. But I can tell you this, though you should not worship it, you better take good care of it. Because you're going to answer to God for what you've done with it. We're stewards of these four things. Let me ask you something. What kind of accounting are you going to give of your stewardship of your life? Father, help us, I pray. Lord, we have sacred pet peeves that we never want to address, never want to talk about them. And yet, Lord, we're going to stand and give an account to you for stewardship we've had over these four items, because these four items are the sum total of life, our time, our talents, our treasure, and yes, Lord, our temple. Lord, I pray you'd help us to wisely use our time, even carving out some time every day to exercise, Lord, so that we keep our body in shape so our mind can be sharp. Father, I pray that no young person or adult here would lose their opportunity to minister and serve ahead of time because they didn't take care of their temple. Father, may no man or woman or young person Lord, have to struggle through life and wonder how they're going to make ends meet because they're not a wise steward of their treasure. Father, I pray that no young person would not use their abilities and gifts, or Lord, would employ them in service to the world and to the devil or self, and Lord, become an unwise steward of their talents. And Lord, above all things, I pray You'd help us to wisely use the time, the 1,440 minutes we have each day. May we invest every amount of energy. And Lord, use those minutes so that, Lord, when we come to the end of life and look back and we stand at a place called the judgment seat, Lord, we will have not only done the right thing, done it with the right motive, but Lord, we will have invested the stewardship You've given to us in a wise way. Now, Lord, for what You're going to do in speaking to our hearts, and Lord, I trust changing us in these four areas, Lord, we're going to give You praise and thanksgiving even in advance because we ask it, Lord Jesus, in Your name and for Your glory. Amen.